It's that time of the week again. Maynard Woods is with us, senior editor of the City Paper. The edition is popping out all over the city, and he's not a guest. Well, he is a guest. You were a guest just the other day, but you're a guest again.
Yeah, it's great to be back twice in one week.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
So this new issue, lots of interesting stuff. Let me start with Van's piece, Opium Trade. So what is...
Yes. So it's an interesting thing that we, you know, we started looking when National Geographic came out with the thing calling Baltimore the heroin capital of the U.S. Van sort of was like, you know, I seem to recall that at one point, all of the wealthy families in Baltimore, many of them from the old days, were making their money with the opium trade in China, and were bringing specifically opium from Turkey to China and selling it there. And so there was a great trade, which is how Canton has its name, the name that it has. There's a great historical trade between Baltimore and China in general, but one of the main parts of it was the opium trade with Baltimore Americans selling opium in China. So we just wanted to sort of look at that, you know, if we're the heroin capital now, we were on the end of receiving it, and we were the opium capital of late 18th and early 19th century.
That's fascinating. I can't wait to, I have not read that one. I can't read through that one because that's how I like that lineage, that arc.
And a lot of the money that came into Baltimore that helped us build a lot of the old historic buildings and things like that came from illicit trading, whether opium or other things. So it's really fascinating the way that economies work, and you have a shadow economy sort of all around, not just today, but going all the way back.
Where would we be without the illicit world? So you have a piece about the mayor's forum on the arts. I can't wait to see what you think about that.
Yeah, so we did a piece on the online. Rebecca Kirkman did a nice sort of straight news piece the next day. And so mine was more of a reflective piece. And it was a fair amount of disappointment in that the questioning was that there's so much need for, I'm not sure what I can say on the radio.
you can't say the seven deadly words.
Yeah, for patting each other on the back at the beginning of these things, that they take up so much time and that you aren't able to actually have a discussion. So we've been trying to figure out a way to allow some of the, like we did on the air the other day, to allow some of these discussions to go deeper. But, you know, I've been trying to talk with the mayor about her interest in arts for a while. So what I did was imagined a little conversation that the mayor and I might have had and I'd also been trying to get her to smoke marijuana with me. So I tried to imagine the conversation that we might have had after that, had we been able to partake in a ticketable fine type of crime and have a conversation about art. So that was sort of how that piece went. Well, but there's go ahead.
No, go ahead, Peter. Go ahead.
I was going to move us swiftly from that subject.
Yes. Go.
There's so much, so much art going on right now. I mean, you're a lover of the theater and of the stage, and I mean, there's so I can hardly keep up with all of the productions that are going on. So this week we have the Annex Theater's production of The Cook, the Thief, his wife and her lover over at that's happening. It's a reinvention of dinner theater happening at the canteen and in the alley behind the canteen. And it's, you know, taking this 1989 movie and really putting it in that place. And so Brett McCabe has a great review of that. And it's a 4-course dinner that comes along with it, which is really kind of an inspired choice with that movie. Then there's the Potatoes of August at the EMP Collective, which I was pretty blown away by and saw as really the philosophers, Gilles Deleuze and Felix Guattari, have this whole philosophy of the rhizome and the way that it breaks down hierarchies of trees and roots, you know, in Chomsky and linguistics, and the roots coming from a potato come from every which way. And I think this play was really inspired by that. And so it's a really deeply philosophical play. And then Bros really just outdid themselves again with their The Electric Pharaoh, which I saw on Rebecca Scott Lord reviewed, but I also went and saw on Saturday night. And it was a really great production that they're still playing this weekend, and then they're taking on tour. But it was really about a revolution happening in this futuristic and yet also like similar to ancient Egyptian society.
Now, what's this theater company? Which company was this again?
This is the Baltimore Rock Opera Society.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I should have said their whole name out. The Baltimore Rock Opera Society. And so, you know, they went kind of dark with their last play. about the World's Fair murders in Chicago, that the book The White City was based on, with Murder Castle. And now this time they're really going big again with this revolutionary tale about a class, caste-rifted society and these two guys who drop papyrus and take a trip and see this vision and then go and try to overthrow the pharaoh. And it was spectacular.
So we only have like 90 seconds left here, but you're also interviewing, Evan interviewed Greg Thornton, the new CEO of school system, Dr. Gregory Thornton.
Yeah, and that's the first really in-depth interview that he's done. And Evan's wife is a teacher in the system, so he had a lot to ask about with the teacher contracts, with the 21st century, which used to be called Transform Baltimore, with actually the physical rebuilding of the schools. And so it's a pretty in-depth conversation with Dr. Thornton. He, I think Evan realized in transcribing it that we would have liked to get a little bit more background with Dr. Thornton of personal things, but there was so much policy stuff that we're going to have to do a follow-up because it was really a long, long story on school policy, which is so important.
Well, I think it's a great issue, and there's so much more here. There's Will Miller does this review of the Nick Cave documentary, which I've read lots of things about, which sounds great.
Yeah, that's tomorrow night. And then Dope Body and Room Runner, two of our biggest bands, both have records coming out. And so they talk to each other instead of us interviewing them. They have a conversation, and it's a good way to sort of ask, what does it mean to be in a rock and roll band in 2014?
Banner Woods, thanks so much. Always good to have you with us, senior editor of the City Paper. All around town, pop it out of that box and walk away with it and read to your heart's content. Thank you, Baynard.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Talk soon.
See you next week.
Bye-bye. On our way to break, we hear Pretty Boy Floyd by the great folk singer Woody Guthrie. Pretty Boy Floyd died on this day in 1934, one of the great folk heroes. People say he stole from the rich, gave to the poor.
Well, you say that I'm an outlaw, you say that I'm a thief. Here's Christmas dinner for the families on relief. Now it's through this world I ramble. I see lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six gun. Some with a fountain pen.